Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Sunny skies at 87 degrees. Welcome to this special total solar eclipse edition of Closer Look. I'm Ro Scott, along with Van Morrison. It's a fabulous night, or midday, for a moon dance. And broadcasting live from the parking lot of Public Broadcast Atlanta, as a cement truck rolls by, it's quite a scene out here. I'm joined by my colleague, Lisa Hagen, producer Finley Foxen, producer Ebony Lemon, and we have searched far and wide to get the best experts for this special edition of Closer Look. We searched so far that we had to find Braxton, and he is going to tell us what's going to happen today at 2:36 p.m. here in Atlanta. Take it away, Braxton.
Hey, my name is Braxton Sneed, and this is a diagram for the solar eclipse. And first, the moon is going to be behind the Earth, and then the moon is slowly going to block the sun, and it's going to be dark into the middle of the day.
How cool is that?
That was very cool.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Now, I have a question for you. How come you're not in school?
Because I already left school.
Well, that says it. He already left school. Now, while we're all excited and looking forward to this spectacular event, I'm joined now by my colleague, Lisa Hagen, and she has her sunglasses, her total eclipse glasses. And Lisa Hagen, what are you expecting today?
I'm expecting for demons to open up out of the earth and come swallow the sun whole.
That's enough from Lisa Hagen, our colleague in the WAB newsroom. Now, while we're all excited and looking forward to this spectacular event, there are some precautions, health precautions. And Dr. Noom Brandenburg is president of the Georgia Optometric Association. She says, enjoy this moment, but by all means, wear those solar eclipse viewing glasses.
It's very important because within a matter of just a few seconds, you can do some permanent damage to your eyes, and it's not reversible. So it's extremely important to have the proper viewing glasses when you're out there looking at the sun.
You said permanent damage. Like
yes.
What?
Well, the radiation from the sun can cause a burn on the back of the eye, the part that we call the retina, and it's called solar retinopathy. And what it does is it causes a central blind spot in your vision, similar to what patients who have macular degeneration experience.
And this can happen in a matter of seconds. Will they have any symptoms?
Well, unfortunately, we have no pain receptors in the back of our eyes. And so when you're looking at the sun and the damage is occurring, you would not know what was going on. The only way that you would know your eyes are damaged is after the eclipse, when you go to look at something and a portion of your vision is missing, or parts of the vision are distorted or looking wavy. That's the only way you would know. You are not going to feel any pain, and you won't know that it's happening when it's occurring.
So this permanent condition comes without symptoms?
No, it doesn't have symptoms because there are no pain receptors in the eye. Your eyes will become sensitive to the bright lights, but technically it causes no pain that you would know about.
Is there any recourse if someone thinks they've sustained eye damage, can they head to the emergency room? Is there anything that can be done?
Well, unfortunately, once something is burned, it's very, very hard to repair it. And because the eye is neurological tissue, once it's damaged, most of the times that damage is permanent, which is why it's very important for viewers to understand what precautions they need to take before the eclipse occurs.
Someone may say, can I just wear my regular sunglasses? They're pretty dark.
No, you cannot use regular sunglasses because the solar filters that are in these glasses are thousands of times darker than normal sunglasses. And on the same note, you should not be using the 3D glasses they have in the movie theater or any other homemade filter. The glasses that should be used must meet certain standards. They are ISO standards, which is the industry standard for how dark the glasses need to be. And specifically, they need to meet the ISO 123-122 standard in order to be used. And you can find a list of the approved vendors on several websites. The American Optometric Association has a website, AOA.org. The Astronomical Society has a website. But you need to use glasses that are approved by those vendors. If it's not on that list, we would highly recommend that you don't risk it.
Let's talk about safety precautions for people who already may have some type of visual impairment. Mm-hmm. Are you saying they should not partake in or?
No, I think if you have cataracts, you can still do it. What you want to be careful of is that you never want to view the sun. As a doctor of optometry, I would never encourage anyone to look directly at the sun because 99% of the time, it is never safe to look at it. The only time that that you can actually look directly at the sun without damage occurring is during that brief total phase of the solar eclipse, and that does not apply to everyone. First of all, you have to be within that path of totality where it's crossing over the country. If you're outside of the path of totality, you should always have the solar viewers on. You can never take them off.
What about the conditions, the current weather conditions? Would that impact mm-hmm. whether or not I even need to wear the glasses anyway? Let's say if it's 30-40% cloudy.
Yes. It does not eliminate the need for the safety glasses. You still have to have them on because the radiation from the sun can pass through the clouds. So when you're outside in it, you should always have the glasses on, even if it's cloudy or overcast.
If you wear contacts or glasses, mm-hmm. should you still keep mm-hmm. them in while you're wearing the eclipse glasses?
Yes, you should. And you should put the eclipse glasses over your regular glasses, one, in order for you to see, because if you take your glasses off, everything is blurry. But the eclipse glasses should go over your contacts and over your normal corrective wear, whether that be glasses or contacts.
Mm-hmm. And this is for all age groups, obviously. You don't want
yes.
anyone just
mm-hmm.
looking up into the sun during
exactly.
this total eclipse. So
right.
whatever your age, everyone needs to wear them.
Right. And it's very important to supervise children who may not be aware of how dangerous looking directly into the sun is. And so always make sure you're watching them and make sure their glasses stay on at all times.
And again, Dr. Brandenburg, I just want to reiterate for our listeners, because we all are excited about the solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
But again, explain to them why it's important that they must wear these eclipse glasses and mm-hmm. not even risk mm-hmm. doing damage to their eyes. What is the potential damage here?
Well, the potential damage is permanent. It causes a condition. The radiation from the sun is so intense, it's like having a laser shined in the back of your eye, if you can imagine. But the sun is thousands of times more powerful than even a laser. So when that, no matter how little radiation is contacting the eye, it only takes a few seconds to burn a hole or a scar into the back of the eye. And that scar is permanent, it's irreversible, and it can lead to distortions or central blind spots in your vision. So it's very, very important that people wear the proper solar filters. They're not actually sunglasses, they're actually solar filters that are many, many more times darker than normal sunglasses.
As we wrap up, let's talk about messaging, because there's mm-hmm. been so much excitement about this, and mm-hmm. we've all been focusing on, hey, get your glasses, but get your glasses so you can view the solar eclipse, but not get the glasses because they will maintain your vision.
Exactly.
Are you a little, has it been disseminated enough?
Well, we're doing our best to get the word out there, but I think there's a lot of information, but there, you're right, there's a lot of confusion. Now, on a side note, if you don't have solar viewers, because I know here in Atlanta, a lot of places are sold out of them, and people still want to partake in this momentous occasion that probably will not happen again in our lifetime. So there are different ways, there are alternative ways to experience the eclipse without having the solar glasses. One way is to make something called a pinhole projector. And you, if you go to the American Optometric Association's website, theaoa.org, it actually has some directions for you. And also, I know that FirmBank also has some different information. But simple thing, you can just take a mirror, and you can actually reflect. You don't look at the sun. You stand during the eclipse with the sun behind you. And when the sun shines onto the mirror, the pinhole projector, you can actually aim that light onto a wall or onto a poster board, and you can actually see the shape of the eclipse on as a projected image. You're not looking at the sun itself, but that's much, much safer, because then you're not looking directly at the sun, but you can still see the shape of the moon as it passes across the face of the sun, and you can see where part of it is being blocked.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Well, just one last word. Remember what your mom said. Never look at the sun, and she was right.
She was absolutely right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to a special edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott, and I'm joined now by our expert who we spoke with earlier into the segment. That is 6-year-old Braxton. Welcome to the program, sir. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, you all at school, you all have been waiting for this solar eclipse, right? Have you learned a lot?
Yes.
Exciting stuff, huh?
Yes.
Now, explain to our listeners who aren't clear exactly what's going to happen. Tell me again what's going to happen today at 2:36. You have a diagram, so what's going to happen?
This is a diagram of the solar eclipse. And first, the moon is going to be behind the Earth. And then the moon is slowly going to block the sun. And it's going to be dark into the middle of the day.
Wow. Are you excited?
Yes.
You have your glasses?
Yes.
All right. Well, you heard from our expert, six-year-old Braxton. He said it's going to be dark. Can we go to bed then, or what should we do?
We should look at the solar eclipse.
With our special viewing glasses, correct?
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, you heard it. Out of the mouths of babes. Braxton, thank you so much for coming on Closer Look. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Support for WABE comes from the 2017 AJC Decatur Book Festival, featuring superheroes, parade, storytelling, little golden books, and baby cows on Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd in downtown Decatur. You can plan your DBF at DecaturBookFestival.com. And from Capital One. You can open a Capital One savings account and discover more about Capital One savings online at CapitalOne.com/ReimagineAtlanta. Capital One, welcome to Banking Reimagined.
Just bees and things and flowers.
My name is Virginia Boudreaux. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Just bees and things and flowers.
I graduated in May and I found out about the eclipse, so we were initially going to Nashville and then we decided to make a family trip out of it, come see Nana who lives in Dallas, Georgia. And so we've just been enjoying our time waiting for this counting down. My mom, my cousin, my grandmother, my nanny, and my Nana, and their sisters. That's my dad's mother.
My life, my life, my life, my life, and the sunshine.
Well, I figured it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and my grandmother, she's never seen a total eclipse before, so I figured this was the perfect time. She's getting in her age, so I figured she needs to see this. And I'll be 52 for the next one, so I was like, learn to do it while I'm young.
Sunshine. Folks get down in the sunshine.
And you're listening to Closer Look here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Rose Scott. You can check out our solar eclipse playlist. Of course, that is Pink Moon by Jim Drake. Now, to check out how prepared Georgia is for this solar eclipse, I recently spoke to the city of Clayton's mayor, Jordan Green, and I asked him if there was enough lodging available in the city for the influx of visitors into that area.
As far as I understand, it's all booked up. All of the lodging availability in Raven County, the city of Clayton, the city of Dillard, Tiger, and all the cabins that are in the surrounding area have been booked up for quite a while.
You said for quite a while. When did you all start to notice that, hey, folks are really coming to be a part of our town, and this is going to be great for the local economy?
Actually, it started about 3 years ago. Our public works director for the city of Clayton is an avid astronomer.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something that he noticed. He kind of started talking about it, you know, internally within our own departments. And then Tika Earnhardt, she's the executive director for the Tourism Development Authority in Raven County. She started planning a lot of this about a year and a half ago. And I believe she had told us somewhere around 4 to 5 months ago that everything had been booked up, that, you know, it was done, that you were going to have a very hard time if you wanted to wait last minute to try to find something.
This is going to be a momentous time for your county. Are you all excited to see all these visitors coming into your area?
We are. We are indeed. It's the economy in Raven County and the city of Clayton thrives on tourism. So to have something like this happen is you know, it's welcome with open arms.
How prepared are you all in the city of Clayton for all these visitors, or tourists, if you will?
I feel like we're prepared. Like I said, you know, this is something that, not on this grand of a scale, but this is something that every year we deal with. The population count in Raven County typically doubles in the summertime months.
So just in general, anyway.
Just in general. So it's an influx that we already see in summertime, between public safety and everything else. They start to ramp up, provide more services, and look to have more people in. And they've been planning, I believe, for about the past month. Like I said, I've talked with Tika, and they've been having meetings with GEMA, with GDOT, with the local sheriff's department, with our police department in the city of Clayton, and with all the other entities to bring them together. So beyond the resources we have within house in the county and in the city, they've also reached out to the state and the surrounding communities to pull in law enforcement, to pull in GDOT, to help with signage and everything else. So this is something that we've all been working to prepare for, and hopefully we'll be able to put on a good show and keep everyone moving.
You mentioned all those entities, and when you talk about, you know, being a first responder and emergency personnel, you are a firefighter as well as being the mayor. So do you feel like you all are prepared in that sense, too, in case anything happens?
To the best of the ability, I believe we are. I've spoken with the EMS director up there, and like I said before, typically they'll put on extra trucks. They'll have extra people come in. You know, it's something that most agencies prepare for no matter what, to the best of their ability. And then if something else happens, there's more contingency plans if something else occurs.
Do you have any idea in terms of the numbers, the projected numbers of people specifically coming to the city of Clayton?
Not necessarily specific to the city of Clayton. The numbers that I've been told as far as overall in Raven County is an extra 30,000 to 40,000 people. That doesn't include the normal population, and that doesn't include the influx from winter to summer.
That's a lot of people.
It is. And the wintertime population is around 16,000. Summertime's around 32,000. So essentially we're going to double the amount of people.
You have enough restaurants?
I hope so. we have some fabulous restaurants in Clayton and Dillard in the surrounding communities, and you know that's the biggest thing. I'm sure they're going to look forward to seeing all the people come in and enjoy what they have to offer.
I talked about this being a local boost for the economy there. On a normal summer, and you mentioned that Raven County is a big spot for tourists. Any idea, Mayor Green, in terms of how much money you all see on the average in terms of tourism?
I couldn't tell you right off. That's not a number I have, and I apologize for
that.
But you
see a lot of visitors.
We do, yes, ma'am, and it helps. It definitely helps.
Tell me about the city of Clayton and Raven County for our Atlanta visitors. What should they know about this area?
The city of Clayton, it's the county seat of Raven County. It's pretty much in the center of town, and the way it was created was actually a crossroads of the Cherokee Indian Trails. So that was the foundation of why Clayton is there and why it is what it is. But, you know, I kind of like to think of it. It is my hometown, and as I told you earlier, I've been there for about 4 to 5 generations. But I like to think of it as the gateway to the mountains. It's in the Appalachian mountain range. The Appalachian Trail goes through there. Bartram Trail goes through there. But, you know, you kind of come out of Atlanta, you go north, you come through Hall and Habersham counties, and you kind of get into the foothills. But it's once you start getting into the northern end of Habersham, into Raven County, and specifically Clayton, is where you really start to feel that mountain charm. And I believe that's what attracts the majority of people to Raven County and to Clayton. And also the fact that we have 3 beautiful lakes there in Raven County, Burton, Seed, and Raven.
Support for WABE comes from Ackerman Security, providing custom-designed smart home security systems with remote access as well as video surveillance, fire protection, and monitored entry alarms to protect your home and business. Ackerman, the sign of real security.
As the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium opens this month, we take a look. How will it change the local economy and neighborhoods on the west side? What were the past promises for Atlanta stadiums, and what's the current reality? Join WABE reporter Stephanie Stokes at our next community conversation, The Impact of New Stadiums, this Tuesday evening at 6:30 at the Atlanta University Center's Woodruff Library. For more information and to reserve your free ticket, go to wabe.org/community.
I stumble through the darkness.
Damian Bond, Rockbridge, Ohio.
I'm sure I lived within a world that had no sunshine.
We came down to stay with friends in Asheville, who this is one of here, for the weekend, and we were talking about where we were going to go to see it, and we decided that we had to get as close to the perfect spot as possible, and we thought this would be a good spot.
The stars fell out of heaven.
Kind of looked on the NASA interactive map and picked out where we thought it would be the best, closest we could get to. Well, a lot of the things that you read are that it's an experience you'll never forget, and I love having experiences that I'll never forget, obviously, and just seeing what happens. I think it's really kind of makes it more exciting this time to have all the technology we have and be able to use, like, the apps where you can report what you witnessed and so on. I guess we'll see what the dogs do here. I don't see a lot of birds around, but, you know, that just seemed exciting to me.
Watching the eclipse on your Twitter feed.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by American Funds. Others hope for a good year. American Funds from Capital Group prefers good decades. Securities offered through American Funds Distributors, Inc. And by Progressive Insurance, with the Name Your Price tool, offering a range of coverage and price options to choose from. Now that's Progressive. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. As you might have heard, there's a solar eclipse happening today. It won't happen again in the U.S. until the year 2024, though the moon blocks the light of the sun completely somewhere on planet Earth about every 18 months. Today in the U.S., you got to wear special glasses to watch in real life, even if you are pointing a smartphone at the sun and looking on your smartphone screen. But if you're either not in the so-called path of totality or stuck in front of a computer, you can stream it on Twitter. This is thanks to a partnership between Twitter and the Weather Channel. Neil Katz is head of global content and editor-in-chief for the Weather Company. Neil, thanks for talking.
Thank you, Ben. Pleasure to be here.
You guys film extreme or unique weather events all the time, right?
We do.
How do you tackle filming something like this?
It's a lot easier. It's you don't have to dance around a tornado. They can be pretty dangerous. This one's going to be a very safe event. The totality, you know, when you actually, the eclipse actually goes completely dark, that happens very quickly. You only get to see about 2 minutes of it. But we've positioned cameras in 10 states, so we're going to do it 10 times. And we're also working with NASA, who's putting up jet planes to film this, and they'll capture about 7 minutes of the totality as they kind of chase it across the skies.
How are you guys going to make money off this event?
The old-fashioned way, ads. You know, commercials will be placed throughout the stream, and that's going to be both on Twitter, but also on our own platform. We're running this live on our apps as well as our website as well.
Can you talk a little bit about how your company thinks about programming in the internet age?
We keep it short, that's first of all. And, you know, for our app, which is today the bulk of where people experience the Weather Channel, you know, if you're a data consumer, if you come to us just for the forecast to figure out if you need to wear a jacket or a raincoat tomorrow, you stay with us about 4 minutes a month. If you come for video and content, you stay about almost 30 minutes a month. So it's had a huge impact on our business to, you know, rearrange how we think about producing digital content.
Neil, are you going to be watching with glasses or on a computer screen? Where are your eyes going to be focused during the eclipse?
My eyes will be in a dark studio in Atlanta, watching millions of people watching us.
Fair enough. Neil Katz is head of global content and editor-in-chief for The Weather Company. Neil, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ben.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by American Express Open. American Express Open believes businesses are full of people with good ideas. That's why they're committed to helping your good ideas come to life with money and tools so you can get business done. and by Epson, featuring printers for the office, printing up to 75,000 pages without replacing ink. Where there's business, there's Epson. Learn more at epson.com/forbusiness.
All the little boxes you check on your way to using that thing you want to use online without paying super close attention to what you're signing away include agreements about data privacy. You might remember the story from about a month ago where iRobot's CEO said something about Roomba vacuum cleaners mapping your home's floor and sharing that data, and then people got really freaked out. The company assured everyone it wasn't doing this yet, but the truth is, no two data privacy agreements really seem to look the same to the user. And that's a big part of the problem, says Jamie Williams, a staff attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Jamie, thanks for talking.
Thank you for having me.
All right, how did we get here?
Part of the problem is that we don't have an overarching privacy law in the United States. So the Federal Trade Commission now protects us for privacy. So if a company promises to do something in its privacy policy and does something differently, then the FTC can go after them. So there's an incentive to not promise too much.
I think a lot of times we don't really think about the fact that the company we're giving our data to might then give it to another company for another reason or a reason they haven't even figured out yet in order to make money off it.
Especially in the startup space, as companies are first starting and they don't really know exactly what they're going to be doing, they want to keep as much data as possible in case they need it down the line for a new tool that they wanted to roll out for users.
Well, how should we approach this as users?
In order to actually change what's going on, consumers need to start voting with their dollars, essentially, and supporting companies that are clear and transparent and care about privacy and listen to consumers, and maybe even give consumers a right to control their data.
What are you most worried about in terms of how all of this stuff is playing out today? I mean, are you worried more about the private sector? Are you worried about policy?
So we are really concerned right now about what all this data collection means for the Fourth Amendment and your reasonable expectation of privacy. And the government, in many cases, is arguing that when a third party has data, you no longer have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And that means that the government doesn't need a warrant to get that data. And so privacy is completely out the window.
And there's a specific case that involves this?
So there's a case right now, it's going to be heard this fall at the Supreme Court involving the location information that cell towers collect from your phone. And do you have an expectation of privacy in that? Does the government need a warrant to get that? It's going to be really important for whether we have privacy going forward.
Jamie Williams, she is a staff attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation on smart device data collection and third-party selling. Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And dear listeners, our hashtag Summer Tech Jam playlist collaboration continues. Sean Chapla says, how about We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk? Technically, the tune is apparently called The Robots, but I mean, they do say... Nice one, Sean. Also, listener Kay Collette suggests a band that could arguably call Kraftwerk their ancestors, Daft Punk, and their song Technologic. All right, keep your submissions coming. Use the hashtag SummerTechJam. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at the Brock Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Closer Look continues now here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Rose Scott. It's a special solar eclipse edition, and I've compiled my own solar eclipse playlist. This is Cosmic Slop by Funkadelic. Ah, yes. In Georgia, Rabun County is anticipating an influx of visitors to see their solar eclipse. And to mark this event, Rabun County is having a huge celebration. Joining me now on the line is Tika Earnhardt. She's the executive director of the Rabun County Tourism Development Authority. Tika, thanks for taking the time.
You are very welcome. Glad to be here.
I know you all have been busy. You've had a very busy few months and weeks. And now tell us, how excited are you that it's finally here?
Oh, my gosh. It is just incredible, incredible. We are having a fabulous day. The weather could not be more spectacular. And the crowds are just fantastic.
And I take it the government offices are closed for the day?
Yes, they originally, we asked them to be closed for half a day, close at noon. But then when we started seeing the amount of people that were going to be coming in, our county commissioners decided it was best to close for the whole day, let the non-essential personnel, non-emergency personnel have the day off, enjoy it, be safe, be with their families. The schools let out today. They originally were going to do a half day, and then they changed it and decided to be a full day. So it's great for our whole county.
And is there a particular area that a lot of people have come to watch this eclipse, and where exactly are you?
I am at Rabun Gap Nacoochee School on the north end of the county, and we are having our Out of Sight Festival, which we sold 10,000 tickets. I haven't counted, but it looks like a whole lot more, but I think it's probably the 10,000. It's an incredible spectacle. We've got, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
How's the traffic?
Well, I have not been off the campus all day. I do know that it was this morning was very, very congested getting to our event. We ended up opening up a little early than we had planned to try to help alleviate the traffic, and kind of got us on our heels a little bit to start off with, but we recovered quickly. But it definitely opened up. I'm looking at Highway 441, which is right in front of the school, and the traffic is moving. It's moving. It's not moving fast, but it is moving.
Now, you all expected a large crowd in terms of emergency personnel. Do you all feel like you have enough, and just in case, you know, that there is an emergency out there?
Yes, we do. The state has definitely supported our whole region. We're not the only ones that are in having this influx of people, but our county emergency has been phenomenal. And then the state has come in and backed us up and helped us. So far, so good. I haven't heard of anything of any major consequence at all. So I think, and the people are here. Everybody's being cautious and patient. So I think that's definitely helping.
Do you all have enough glasses for everyone?
Well, we have glasses for our ticketed patrons. So for the folks that purchase a ticket, we have enough glasses for all of our ticketed patrons and then all of our volunteers and emergency personnel. And we have sold well over 10,000 to the general public leading up to this event.
Wow. Tika Earnhardt, you've been in that region for a number of years. Can you recall any other event that has been this anticipated in as long as you've been there?
Nothing to this magnitude. Back in the 1970s, when Carl LaLinda walked across the Tallulah Gorge State Park, which is here in our county, I was not here then, of course, but I hear that it was a similar type of thing with traffic, and of course the road systems weren't as good, the coordination wasn't as well. So I can only imagine. But they said there were 20,000 people at that event. Since then, we've had some events like Warrior Dash, but those are over a 2 or 3 day period, and it's 40,000 people. But they come in throughout the day and leave throughout the day. It's not an influx just all at one time like this. I've been here 10 years. I can't remember anything being quite this concentrated before.
And Tika, as we wrap up, it's a big economic boost for the region, even if it is just for people to come look at something for 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we are excited. Our hotels were full. People are coming in. They have to buy gas to get in and out. They're stopping to eat meals. We've used as many local people and vendors as we possibly could for this event. I think the whole region is going to be a definite, a positive source for everything. It's definitely something that we are very appreciative of.
All right. Tika Earnhardt, Executive Director of Rabun County Tourism Development Authority. Thank you so much for taking the time. Enjoy that eclipse.
Thank you so much, and thanks for calling.
And as people continue to flock to different parts of the U.S. to see the solar eclipse, from Lincoln Beach, Oregon, to Charleston in South Carolina, one such person is James Sowell. He's an astronomer from Georgia Tech. He joins me on the line now. He's at Lake Hartwell in South Carolina.
Astronomer? Actually, I'm still in Georgia.
Are you still in Georgia? Oh, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for calling me.
Let me ask you this, from an academic celestial viewpoint, how momentous is this?
This is a chance for the average person to just look up in the sky and see the universe at work. This isn't something that we're controlling. It's going to happen whether it's cloudy or not, whether we knew about it or not, and it's going for a very large population base.
And from a...
going across our continent. So many people can see it.
Wow. And just from a personal view, how cool is this?
I became interested in astronomy and an astronaut when I was 7. I'm 59, and this is going to be my first total solar eclipse. I see a few clouds, but I want to see totality.
You know, astronomer Jim, people have been talking about they're so excited. And I think here's a question that might get overlooked, which is, why does this happen, and why does it take decades in between to occur?
It has to do with the orbit of the moon going around the Earth and the orbit of the Earth going around the sun, and those two orbits in line. So there's only a few times where I'm between Earth, sun and Earth, and this just happens to be one of those days. And it's occurring where a lot of people can see it. The next one in 2 years is primarily in the Pacific Ocean.
Now, as an astronomer with an event that lasts no longer than 3 minutes, can science collect enough data? And if so, what are they collecting and what do they use it for?
Most of this that is collected today now is going to be the effect of the atmosphere, on the atmosphere, the cool shadow suddenly appearing on atmosphere and how the ionosphere is responding. In the past, about 100 years ago, helium was discovered in the sun's atmosphere in an eclipse, hence the name. It's named after the sun, Helios. And 100 years ago, it was the bending of starlight. They took photographs without the sun in the star field and then during the eclipse, and they compared the positions of the stars, and it showed that Albert Einstein's view that light could be bent near a massive object was correct, and that Newton's view that was straight was incorrect.
And before we let you go, how long have you, I know you said since you were a little kid, but how long have you, in terms of being an astronomer, how long have you been preparing for this, and what have you been doing to prepare for it?
Just finding a site. I guess I've been preparing for about a year. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Nashville. All my family's in the past. They ended up coming to a colleague's place here at Lake Hartwell because Georgia Tech is having a very large celebration right now as we speak, mm-hmm. and I was heavily involved. In fact, your radio station ranked one place to be to see the eclipse.
Absolutely.
So a lot of things happening. I would love to make a plug, though. Any of your listeners that think they can't see it, they don't have glasses, just make a small puncture, as circular as you can, in a sheet of paper or a note card or your business card, and take a second one and walk outside and just project that little image and hold them 4 inches apart, and you can see the eclipsed image of the sun.
Say that again, because I think you broke up again. Say that again for our listeners.
Sorry. If you don't have the glasses, you can still make a pinhole camera. Make a push pin size or nail size hole in a sheet of paper or a note card. Take a second one, walk out, and just cast that image onto about 4 inches away, and you'll actually see the shape of the moon blocking out the sun, or the sun's disk.
All right. He's an astronomer, Professor Jim Saul. He's an astronomer at the School of Physics over at Georgia Tech. Thank you so much for taking the time, and enjoy the eclipse.
Thank you. I'm going to go join my friends now.
All right. Go do that.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thomas Flint, Starkville, Mississippi. We've been planning to come to the eclipse since last year, and we just came touring around, and we saw this. It's in the path of totality, and hey, this is kind of off the beaten path. It's not the big parties or anything, so we figured there would be room here, and there was. And, you know, I started looking about 2 months ago for hotel rooms in Franklin, North Carolina. Everything was booked up, so I was lucky to get one in Gainesville, I think. Yes, we will be driving all the way back today, but we'll get home probably 10 o'clock local time. We could walk forever, walking on the moon. We could be together, walking on the moon. Fitzgerald, Delta Rhythm Boys. It's only a paper moon. You're listening to a special edition here of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. We're going to continue our coverage of the solar eclipse with the final traffic check. Many Georgians are out traveling on the roads today. Natalie Dale, she's with the Georgia Department of Transportation spokesperson. She joins us to give us an update. Natalie, welcome.
Hi, how are you this wonderful eclipse Monday?
I am fine. You got your glasses?
I do have my glasses. Now, we just want to start off by letting people know, if you haven't figured this out yet, that you can't see anything through them, we do not recommend driving with them on.
You can't say that enough, probably.
You really can't. You really can't.
Natalie, let's begin here. What is traffic like right now? I know you all have like 80,000 cameras at the GDOT, and I know a lot of people have been traveling north today for the full totality, correct?
Correct. What we have seen really in sort of tracking some of our sensors and the cameras as far out as that they go, that we have seen some pretty consistent backups on 985 northbound and 85 northbound. So just, you know, the law would say that if it's backed up going that way, once this event has passed us, they're going to be backed up coming back southbound into the city or into this area. So if you are on the road, if you are in one of these sort of backed up areas, pack your patience. Be a courteous and patient driver. We've had some reports of some aggressive driving, some tailgating. It won't get you there any faster. But we do want motorists to get off the road for this event. Our expertise is the roadways, not necessarily the sky. So for this event, what we really can add to this is just to say, the event at 2:30 is in the sky. We want you to be in a parking lot. We want you to be someplace off the interstate, off the roadway, where you can safely watch this. Please, 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 if you're listening to this in the car, do not pull over on the side of the interstate to watch the eclipse as it happens. This is not a safe place to be for this event.
Very good advice there, Natalie. Now, how do you all prepare for this? Have you deployed extra hero units just in case and other personnel?
We did. We sent some. Now, hero units are primarily, or hero units are just in the metro area, and then we have champ units throughout the state. But what we did was to to dispatch some of those hero units up to that northeast corner of the state, Raymond County area, Tallulah Falls, where they have some pretty fairly large events going on, just to help with traffic management. But again, this is a fun event, and people should be relaxed. No stress surrounding this event, but just know that there's going to be some traffic, so pack your patience.
And also, along with your patience in terms of traffic management, you all have suspended a lot of road construction for today, particularly around those areas where you knew a lot of travelers would be, correct?
Exactly. From about the metro area north, so from about I-20 north in the metro area and up in that northeast corner of the state, we have suspended construction today, suspended some lane closures. Hopefully that will give some extra relief to those people traveling on the road. We have put up used our overhead signage message boards to alert people to the fact that there will be something going on at 2:30. And again, our big message is, please don't be on the road. If you want to be part of this event and you want to see the eclipse, in your car on the side of the interstate is not the best place to do that. We can't say this enough. Don't try to drive with those glasses on. Don't pull over on the side of the road. You know, our expertise is the roadways and safety on the roadways. So we want you to be somewhere where you can safely see what's going on in the sky.
And Natalie, as we wrap up, if you are driving, whether it's on the interstate or on the side streets, and obviously the total eclipse happens, don't panic. Should people turn on their headlights? What should they do? Or do you really want people just to recognize at 2:36, please be somewhere, parked somewhere?
Yeah, again, people who want to experience this, the roadway is not the best place to do that. So we have really encouraged people to develop a plan before this. A lot of those automatic headlights may come on. Mm-hmm. So just be a safe and courteous driver during this event and as it passes.
Natalie Dale from the Georgia Department of Transportation giving traffic updates ahead of the eclipse. Natalie, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy that eclipse.
Thank you. You as well.
Yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire saw these guys Saturday. Baddest band in the land. Today, the U.S. will see its first coast-to-coast solar eclipse in 99 years. Some parts have already seen it. Some people have already seen it, including David Barron, author of American Eclipse, A Nation's Epic Race to Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World. David is in Wyoming. He joins me now on the line. David, welcome.
Thank you very much. If I sound excited, it's because I've got adrenaline coursing through my veins.
Oh, my goodness. David, tell our WAB listeners exactly where you are.
I'm on a mountaintop in Wyoming. I'm at over 10,000 feet looking down on Jackson Hole. And, oh, my goodness, it's just perfect, perfect conditions here. And it was just a spectacular total eclipse.
How much foot traveling was involved?
Almost none. I took a tram up to the top. So I did it the easy way. But we got really lucky with the skies here. The forecast yesterday was for partly cloudy, but it's cloudless overhead. And I tell you, for those of you who get to see the total eclipse, it's a beautiful corona this year. Different every time. This is my sixth total eclipse. This was a really pretty one.
And David, are there a lot of folks within this region where you are?
You know, it's surprisingly quiet here. Jackson, Wyoming was expecting just to be inundated, and everyone's surprised by how few came. I suspect that in other parts of the country there are huge crowds, but Jackson, I think, was a little hard to get to if you didn't actually have lodging here, and all the lodging was taken months and months ago.
And David, as that countdown began, you talked about the adrenaline, you could feel the excitement. What was going through your body as you were counting down, and then you got within a minute of the total eclipse?
Oh, my goodness. Well, so, I mean, as totality approaches, it's like all of a sudden the sun is just being sucked away or something. I mean, it's like dusk, but dusk accelerated 1,000 times. It happened so quickly. And when we finally, when totality occurred and we could look at the sun with the naked eye, which, of course, is only safe during the total eclipse in the path of totality, we could see the corona. And it has these wonderful streamers coming off, sort of a fishtail in one direction, and a streamer going off in the other direction, sort of these three rays coming off. and it just was shimmering and absolutely beautiful.
And David, although brief, what was a takeaway for you?
Oh, well, this was my sixth total eclipse, but this one I saw with my family. I had my father and stepmother and brothers, and it was just wonderful to make it a family event. And I hope that those who are out there today have their families and other loved ones with them, because it's really something you want to share.
And David, what's next for you? What do you do with this moment in terms of documenting it for history? I mean, you obviously follow this. This is something that you love. It's a passion. So now, what's that next chapter?
Well, the next chapter is the next total eclipse. And that'll be in 2019 in South America. So for those who want more, you can go to South America in 2019. Of course, we're going to have another one here in the U.S. 2024. And that'll be a huge deal, too. So April 8th, 2024, I'm looking forward to that when totality comes back to the United States.
Is there anything you can add? I mean, you authored American Eclipse. I mean, what's next? What can you add to that?
Well, I don't know. But I'm really, really interested to see. You know, my book is about a total eclipse that crossed the U.S. in 1878 mm-hmm. and was really an inspirational moment for the country, got us excited about science. And I will be really interested to see how all the enthusiasm today, what that results in going forward. And, you know, how many kids who see the eclipse today decide they want to become scientists. I tell mm-hmm. you, thousands will. I think that what happens today, the reverberations will be felt for many, many years.
And isn't that great? David Barron, author of American Eclipse, A Nation's Epic Race to Catch the Shadow of the Moon and Win the Glory of the World, and you are in Wyoming. David, thank you so much for taking the time. We are really excited here in Atlanta. We hope to experience the same adrenaline that you just talked about.
Well, I wish you all clear skies and a great eclipse day.
Thank you, David.
Just bees and things and flowers.
My name is Virginia Boudreau. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana.
Just bees and things and flowers.
I graduated in May, and I found out about the eclipse, so we were initially going to Nashville, and then we decided to make a family trip out of it, come see Nana, who lives in Dallas, Georgia, and so we've just been enjoying our time, waiting for this counting down. My mom, my cousin, my grandmother, my nanny, and my Nana, and their sisters. That's my dad's mother.
My life, my life, my life, my life. And the sunshine.
Well, I figured it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and my grandmother, she's never seen a total eclipse before, so I figured this was the perfect time. She's getting in her age, so I figured she needs to see this. And I'll be 52 for the next one, so I was like, learn to do it while I'm young.
Sunshine. Folks get down in the sunshine. Sunshine.
Walmart wants to do its part to reduce greenhouse gases. It's good for our business. Our customers are interested in the work that we're doing on climate and many of our stakeholders.
They've been calculating the climate price tags of their products with surprising results.
Why are we seeing bread have high emissions?
I'm Kelly McEvers, climate costs in the grocery aisle, on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekday afternoons from 4 to 6:30 on 90.1 WABE.
Always in the dark, we're living in a powder keg and giving up. Oh, I really need it tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight.
Oh, Bonnie Tyler. Apparently, she's on a cruise ship somewhere singing this song. That's it for today's show. Closer Look was produced by Candace Wheeler, Ebony Lemon, Finley Foxen, and Amelia Brock. It's a total eclipse of my heart, folks. Special thanks to Christine Dipsey, our executive producer, our engineer, Elizabeth Eads. A special thanks to the entire WAB News team, Public Broadcasting Atlanta's digital services crew, our special correspondent, six-year-old Braxton. If you missed any of today's show, you can find the entire program online at wabe.org/closerlook. We're back tomorrow at 1 for another edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. Enjoy the eclipse, everyone, and remember to wear those glasses.